Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So we had a series of assignments over the weekend. Here they are. The Friday one was watch to see how you exhibit each of these qualities in your life. Record and listen. And the qualities being referred to are the qualities that you listed in your mother and father as positive and negative. And then on Saturday, if your mother were writing an in-depth description of you, what would she say? Record and listen. And if your father were writing an in-depth description of you, what would he say? Record and listen. So here's our first caller. Sherry, are you still there?
Sherry? I am. Yes,
okay.
I am. All right.
Okay, good. All right. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
My goodness, we're going to have disappearing people today.
There we go.
Ah, good.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Linda Joy. Am I on?
You are.
Okay. Wow, I didn't expect to be the first caller. This is a beautiful day, and I'm so grateful for both of you being there in the mornings. It really is a blessing for the whole Sangha. I guess the first thing that came to my mind is with my mother, what they would say is she wouldn't waste her time. And my dad would say, I'm not sure, that I was always a good student, I guess.
Uh-huh.
What was the follow-up to?
So not a lot of clarity about what these people might have thought of you.
No.
Not a lot of projections onto what they might have thought of you.
Oh, gosh. Well, my mother was just totally disappointed in me all the time. I think my dad probably, though he didn't say it, was probably a little bit proud of me.
Uh-huh.
This has been hard for me, and I don't know why. All of this, you know, I feel like, well, I've been there, done that, and because I feel guilty. I mean, the ego just does such a good job on me when I get into this area because one of the people that's meant a lot to me in my past is my aunt, and when that comes up for me, I always feel guilty. Why can't I be feeling that for my mom? Kind of stuff. So I just avoid going there.
Okay. I'm tracking. So
okay.
Because ego, self-hate, makes you feel guilty, it comes up with guilt-producing information for you, it causes you to stay away from this whole area. There's never going to be any clarity, right? There'll never be any freedom from it because you're not allowed to explore it. The interesting, to me, one of the most interesting aspects of the process of this is that I project that you don't get to any place of understanding or clarity or compassion or any of that sort of thing for your mother. And you also don't get to feel the love that you feel for your aunt because that's cut off by guilt.
Yeah.
So we can see how controlled you are by a fear of what those negative voices in the head say to you. Not saying you, but you're not alone in this, right? I mean, that is their M.O. Say stuff, make people feel so bad, they won't actually explore with conscious compassionate awareness in the present, a subject, and then it stays hidden in the dark room, and every time anything reminds a person of it, they get tossed into the dark room with that stuff. So from
Eo's perspective,
it's very effective.
Yeah, it is. Very much so. Yeah. Let me share one thing I wrote this past week where it seemed to feel better for me was when we it was a special childhood memory. And what came up for me was my grandfather. And that was one person in my life that I knew I had unconditional love. And I wrote, I do not need to find that four-leaf clover. I can sit in the love of my grandfather anytime I want. He lives in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I can never lose that magic feeling of love I was given by my grandpa.
Yeah.
So I did find something, and I am so grateful for that this week because it felt like a very
huge piece. You've really put the whole thing together there with that. Okay. So that feeling of unconditional love is yours, right? As you say, you can go there and experience that anytime you want. So it's clearly yours. And it does have that feeling of he gave it to you because he demonstrated it and you felt it and you saw it and you got it and it became yours. So that's the place that you can go in order to explore all of these other relationships, all of these other situations in your life. You can, instead of being vulnerable to ego's nastiness, you can first turn to unconditional love and then invite in whatever it is that you want to explore that has been kept in darkness and secrecy and unpleasantness and suffering.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Because that
felt
so good this week. Yes. I thank him all the time. I do, because it was an just awesome type of experience for me as a little kid.
Well, and Linda Joy, it's proof for us. You know, so many people go around believing that they never had an experience of unconditional love, which is not true, because unconditional love is what we are. But when there's another human being who demonstrates that for us, who shows us that it's available and that it's ours, that's a wow.
And he wasn't even there for me very long. He passed when I was in my early teens, and yet it still was just something I've carried my whole life. It's awesome.
Probably at the most important time of your life. All right. Well,
so
take
thank
care
you.
Of you.
And,
oh, you're very welcome.
Yes.
Okay.
Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Fine. Good joy. Thank you. The process I was seeing there, Sherry, is really that when the exercise is difficult, it points to the unexamined that is still there that causes us to suffer deeply, right? What it is that we have not encountered that we want to bring into conscious awareness. Because as long as it's not in conscious, compassionate awareness, then it can be used against us in suffering.
Yes. So we want to bring everything into the light.
And the way
to do that is to be in the light as we bring it in.
That's right. And it's interesting, when I was doing this exercise, I don't have very, very deep relationships or intimate relationships with my parents anymore, in some sense of the word. And so it was really hard to project. But the exercise is to bring into conscious awareness what I think they will say about me. And that brings something to light, right? Because mm-hmm. that's all it mm-hmm. is. Because I'll never know what they think of me unless perhaps I ask them, right?
Right.
And just that process of bringing awareness to what I haven't thought about that in a really long time because I don't have to. And then when I do, there's so much I get to see about me, not so much about anything else.
Which is just the most important awareness we can have, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? It doesn't have anything to do with those people. God knows who they were or are, right? And when you say, if I ask them, and of course we're in that projection place where even if you ask them, they'll say what they say, and that'll be interpreted through whatever filters you're interpreting everything through. So we still don't get any closer to knowing. But what we can know is what goes on in us.
Exactly. And all this is just a mirror to assist my exploration of ending suffering.
Yes. We could say your exploration of you and how that results in suffering.
That's right. And in that mm-hmm. very, very foundational way, because so much of our conditioning happened in our childhood, in a childhood container with those people as being our primary interfaces, we could say, that exploring that for ourselves now really, really assists with the beliefs and assumptions that are being held in place that mm-hmm. we've never had an opportunity to really look at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Well, what else has been going on out there, huh?
Yeah. Well, here's our next caller. Let's find out.
All right.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Tony. It's Todd calling from Kelowna, British Columbia.
Hello, Todd.
Hello.
I was also challenged by this these assignments. Not so much with my dad. I could really go to a place without feeling unconditionally loved by him. I didn't feel much judgment or criticism, but what a diametrically opposed experience that we're kind of reviewing with my mom, where I went to real deep place of compassion for her, because what I heard growing up as a child, being the third born, she had 3 babies in 3 years,
oh,
and that was really challenging for her. Yeah, and I was the third one, 10.5 months after my sister. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, so she would often tell me, and I, of course, I'm just seeing it being felt through ego. I don't know what I really heard, but I think what I internalized was she'd often say, you know, I didn't really want to get married and I didn't really have kids. And when you came, Todd, I was just, you know, really, really stressed. And it was really, she would say, you really, really kind of were unwanted. And I really felt unloved and unwanted by my mom.
What was that last sentence, Todd? You what?
I really felt unloved and unwanted by her.
No, what she said. I couldn't understand
when
you came along.
She said that her hands were full with 2 babies, and she didn't really want a third. So the message I received is I was unwanted and unloved, and I was a burden.
Yeah.
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 Rather than what I would project, and probably you as an adult would hear in that is, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I know I shortchanged you, and I'm really sorry.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And she's passed away. My dad's passed away, so I don't have any, you know, present experience in communication with them now presently. But yeah, I went to a real deep place of compassion, and my experience of her was that she was just so riddled with self-hate and depression and low energy. And just, she was in distraction and avoidance and didn't really, anger, that's what she expressed. She was just always angry about everything. Mm. And I just sort of watched my back and kind of crept along the baseboards and sort of did did my best to stay out of her way.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a target.
Mm. Yeah. Gosh, and from this perspective as adults, we can see that it's the whole thing is just tragic.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
No perpetrators here.
No.
Just kind of everybody victims.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody trapped and pretty without resources.
Oh, absolutely. No resources. Yeah. And I only through this practice am I able to, in retrospect, look back and not hold any bitterness or resentments against her.
Mm-hmm.
Or for a lot of, it felt like neglect. I sensed
Ooh.
I kind of just struggled, just kind of made it on my own in many areas.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
It's one of those, we often kid, I don't know if you've ever heard us say this, but somebody will say something like that, and the response is, you can trust your feelings. Right? I mean, when just looking back at it objectively,
mm-hmm. right.
did that little kid experience neglect? Yes.
Uh-huh.
And she actually said, why?
Yeah.
Right? So
this
to me is such a, what you're pointing us to is such an essential place in practice, which is, can we look at all those things that happened and feel compassion for everybody involved without needing to pass judgment on anyone?
Right, right. And towards the end of her life, she got very, very sick, and I was a primary caregiver for many years, over a decade as a primary caregiver for her. My dad had died, and she got very ill, and I was very, you know, conditioned and brainwashed to believe. She taught me very young, too, that as a child, I was there to take care of her as a aging parent. And she'd often say to me, never put me in a nursing home. Please take care of me. And at the end, she really needed an extended care facility, but I became it.
Mm.
Yeah. So, but it was, which was the beautiful silver lining in all this area I really look back on is it brought me to practice.
Uh-huh.
It's a blessing because I suffered so deeply at the end there in my mid-40s when she was, you know, towards her end of her life. But it was just, it was 24-7 for probably 5 years, 24-7 for me. But it took me to practice because I just suffered so deeply over that experience of caregiving for someone who I felt really, you know, didn't, it was such a, you know,
like, caregive you.
Right, exactly. Here I'm expected and brainwashed to believe that I'm to give up my life for her, where I never received any of that as a child. It was such a bizarre experience.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
But it brought me to practice, and I'm so grateful for that, and have deep compassion for her. And she didn't seem, in my projection is, she didn't seem to have a very happy life. She didn't see her experience joy. I didn't see her really.
No. She's a suffering human being, as far as we can tell.
As far as I know.
And we can also suspect, on a certain level, a bodhisattva.
Ah, thank you.
In the sense that she did ultimately give you something that I'm going to project, and you tell me if I'm wrong about this, but that you would consider more valuable than being adored as a child.
Yeah, beautifully stated. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, priceless.
Mm.
Priceless. What I received in result of all that experience was put together. Yeah, absolutely. So it was a very powerful assignment. Brought me to a lot of different places.
Yeah. Gosh, should be simple little questions, huh? we marvel regularly at that. Simple little questions. And
amazing.
We just see our whole lives.
Oh,
which is kind of what we were talking about with Linda Joy a moment ago, that that's what ego has put a lot of energy into keeping us from doing.
Yeah.
Just being present with those simple little questions that will reveal for us so much and open so many doors to freedom.
Yes. Yeah, so many doors. Yeah. So just deep gratitude and deep yasho, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah,
thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Todd.
Bye-bye.
It's so moving to witness that process, right, Sherry, where we look at something and then so much is revealed about human beings, you know, and moves us to that place, if we're so privileged with this, with a practice like this, to come from compassion rather than judgment.
And I was looking at this yesterday, doing something. The critical nature of moving to unconditional love for oneself. Because
yes.
We hear all the time, it's not possible to give anything to anybody else that you don't have yourself. And on a certain level, we know that, even though we're so conditioned to try to get everything we need through giving something to somebody else. That's until we get to the kind of place that Todd was pointing at, where we have unconditional love. There's no more judgment about this for the human incarnation. And then from that perspective, we can see everybody in that same place of doing the best that we can against whatever it is that we're trying to transcend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, so what I heard you say is that the first movement is the unconditional love for the human being, because I project what I was seeing in that is we could spend lifetimes in judgment or feeling victimized by what we did not get,
right,
that we should have received,
right.
But the step that we can actually take is to be able to receive that for ourselves by giving it to ourselves. And
yes.
Only and then can we move to the place from where we can give what we did not receive.
Yes. And this, yes, exactly. This is where I always have to insert the point that over the years, I've worked with thousands of people who wanted to claim that their lives were a mess because their mother or their father didn't do whatever. They weren't loved in an unconditional way, so they didn't have that available to them, which is completely bogus, because if we didn't already have the experience, we wouldn't know that we weren't getting it from somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Well, and that, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so that puts it squarely back on us to take responsibility for getting in touch with and learning to live from that experience that ego has been trying to deny is ours.
Mm-hmm. And it is the ego experience, the absence of, rather
yes.
than
yes.
the presence of something that now needs to be expressed and claimed, rather than
yes.
living in what was absent.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
yes.
It's the ultimate negative experience of ego.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It can negate an entire lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, let's hear from our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my gosh, I'm so happy. This is Kim from Vashon.
Hello,
and,
Kim. I am, too, and I'm glad to hear that. What's going on?
Oh, thank you. Well, this has been tremendous because I'm a parent now. And so the questions about, I think it was Friday's questions, like how do you see yourself doing all this? Well, I don't even
mm-hmm.
have to look, because my kids say, you're acting just like Grandma. And I'm like, no, I'm not, you know, but it's pretty, you can't deny it when it's coming from an outside source. And then it really forces you to kind of take a look,
Yes. 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 Yeah. And just like Grandma, you're denying that you're behaving just like Grandma.
Well, I am, and I don't want to behave that way, because I have judgments and projections about
yeah.
how it was and is,
which, Kim, is the perfect connection between what we were just talking about. So right. there you are with judgments and criticisms of your mother and how she was and is. And now you find yourself, if you can believe these little monsters that you have raised, if you can believe them, you're behaving just like her, right? So you can now look and see, well, what's going on with me? And then you can project, probably fairly accurately, that's what went on with, goes on with your mother.
Ooh.
Right? And then, you know... It's the perfect pathway in.
Yeah, I'm agog because, like, I have the sense that she doesn't really, my mother doesn't really mm-hmm. go to that place because it's painful, really painful for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I'm doing something different because what really struck me so far with this conversation is bringing it all into the light.
Yes.
No matter what.
That's right. And you know, because your kids are paying attention and they're perceptive, as children tend to be before we slap it out of them, you can actually ask them, what are you seeing? Now, they're going to be projecting from their own experience, right? But you could mm-hmm. say, "What do you mean? What am I doing? What are you seeing? How am I? Right? Because this is more information for you. This is also, I would say, a wonderful parenting technique, right? Because what you're showing your children is you don't have to lock into a position and defend yourself. Right? That what you do as an adult is you're open and you're receptive and you're exploring and you're attempting to see clearly so that you can choose more compassionate ways of being in life. This is a good thing for kids to see modeled, right? And then,
yes.
that'll give you another kind of window into, okay, well, how am I? How's that coming across for them? And a window, again, into your mother. So as you get to, well, it's because I, you know, whatever it is that you get to, well, maybe that's what's going on with mom.
Yeah, wow. It's very, it reverberates because the other exercises, you know, this, along with the other exercises, takes me to this place of kind of flashing back to being a child and then being, you know, a teenager, different ages where I had different experiences with my parents. And so then every time my kids hit those ages, I'm forced to kind of look again.
Yes. And one of the things that we say is, if you want to know how you were treated at a certain age, watch how you treat children that age.
Right?
Because those are the... Right. Now, whether we were really treated that way or not, we'll never know. But that's what we took in. That's the message we got at that age.
Right. Wow. It's big for me.
It's big. You know, Kim,
it's very big.
The word you used is going to become my favorite word for as long as I can remember, agog. Uh-huh. That's where it leaves us, is in this. That's very big place. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Well, thank you.
One more question.
Okay.
It's kind of exciting, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's extremely exciting, and I have to I have to watch the defensiveness because as soon as one of my kids says, "Oh, you're doing just what Baba does," I'm like, "No, I'm immediately defensive." So
yes. So this is good, and you know, we don't have to put pressure on ourselves to reach any level of perfection right away. And so in that moment, you might be defensive. And then in another moment, when you're just driving along and you can do it casually, you talk about your process with that and state that it actually is really helpful for you. You could even make a little request about how it's how the information is given to you.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
That's helpful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay. Let us know.
Thank you. Gosh,
thanks,
Jill,
Kim.
Thank you, sweetie.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
Thanks, Kim. You know, what I was saying about that, right, Sherry, is it's almost like if we're in that open place of receiving the information, it shakes the foundations of our orientation, right? And
yes.
That's what
yeah.
that's really what it's about, which is it's not my experience of myself is not that. And suddenly someone is giving me information that they're experiencing me in a way that I don't experience myself, and it's not my reality. It's
mm-hmm.
It's an earth-shaking kind of moment, and
mm-hmm.
and to me it's exciting as long as we don't go to self-hate.
Yes,
because that's
yes.
what we're conditioned to doing, right?
Yes.
Well, I'm not like that because I don't want to be that, and that's what I am. My whole life is about. But to be able to go, well, what's wrong with that? The immediate assumption is that I'm doing or being something wrong,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, oh, that's interesting.
Say more. Oh, that's
yeah,
interesting.
Say more. Or,
say more.
Yeah, that's just interesting because that may not be where I'm coming from, but I feel I have to defend where I'm coming from because I'm so used to believing that the way I am is not
yeah.
the way I should be.
Yeah.
And projecting
and
that onto
me.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
Somebody just caught
yeah.
me out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Well, which is why yeah. two things about it. It is exciting once we get the hang of having the foundations of our reality shaken. And
mm-hmm.
we perceive that as exciting. And also the encouragement to don't do it in the moment. Just
yes.
you know, survive the moment. And then when there's time to bring conscious compassion and awareness to the whole process, revisit it with somebody. I mean, these are, you know, in Kim's case, these are her kids. You know, they're around. It's not like it all has to be handled yesterday or there'll never be another chance. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. Our assignment today brings it all together. Remember, these are projections, your ideas about how someone sees you. What do you see when you own these projections? Record and listen.
I don't know. There may be something coming up next about this, so I might be giving something away. But just a reminder to be very careful. Keep sharp eyes on where the information is coming from, because most of the projection is being done onto us and onto others by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. That's
mm-hmm.
what's projecting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And thanks to everybody.
Thank you, Sherry. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye-bye.